Fuck, you're old.
Damn it, Wade!
And welcome to the Old Man Wade Show. I am your host, Old Man Wade. And today I got a buddy of mine. I've known him too long. I don't know how he's actually still been my friend after all this time. He's one of the guys I called the rockstar groomsman when I was getting married. He was one of my rockstar groomsmen. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Just Greg.
Hello, people.
All seven of you.
Yeah.
we're still down with this dumbass thing. So the Defenders comes out. I'll get right into it. The Defenders comes out this Friday. So far, we've had Daredevil Season 1. Then we got Jessica Jones, I think, after that.
We had Daredevil Season 2 as well.
Yeah, so we got Daredevil Season 1, Daredevil Season 2, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage,
Iron Fist.
So before we get into that, why don't we break down what we've seen so far. Personally, I think Daredevil has been the best out of all of them so far.
Yes.
I think one of the reasons why I think Daredevil is so good is we have more than just one interesting character. We got Matt Murdock. That's fine. That's great. He's the lead character. He's supposed to be interesting. But we also have Karen Page. We have Foggy Nelson. Yep. We have the Night Nurse. Mm-hmm. The Kingpin.
All these likable characters.
And then you move over to Luke Cage and it was like, all right, Luke is great. Luke Cage's character is great. Cottonmouth is great. But that's... And Misty Knight's awesome, but that's pretty much where it stops.
Yeah. See, first of all, with Daredevil, I think that was around the time I got my brand new TV and my streaming device. I started watching Daredevil, and I was just blown away at, like, how beautiful it was. Production value and everything. It was in 4K, at least on my TV at least. The sound quality, everything. It just raised the bar for what action TV shows are supposed to be. It had a movie-like quality to it, so I was totally sucked in by Daredevil, and the stories were great, and the characters were likable, and it had a nice momentum to it. So I was totally blown away by the first season of Daredevil. The second season of Daredevil wasn't as consistent, but I still enjoyed it. Now, if we're talking about Luke Cage, I love what they did with it. I was as excited for it because it's an African-American superhero. I was excited to hear Wu-Tang on the screen, like all that.
We've got Method Man. Man.
The symbolism with the shot of Putty and everything, I loved it. I also like the fact that he doesn't like using the N-word neither.
Yeah.
Which I don't like to do myself. But
I've said it before, no one should use it.
Yeah. I just feel like if it's that controversial, how about nobody use it? Period. But that's just me. But anyways, it started off pretty strong. When you get to around episode 4 or 5, still pretty good. And then I think like after like episode 6 or 7, it started to wean off a little bit. And when we lost Cottonmouth, sorry if that's a spoiler for anybody, but
it's been about a year, they'll get over it.
I just was like, okay, so I wonder where this is gonna go. And then came, who was the villain towards the end?
His brother, I forget his name. But yeah, it was essentially his brother.
He was lame. He was a terrible villain.
He was.
He was like a caricature of, I don't know who, but he was an awful villain. And I'm like, okay, I know for the TV shows, they kind of watered down these comic book characters.
Yeah.
Luke Cage is a lot more powerful than he lets on the show. So I had to kind of separate that. But there was just so many times where I just felt like they came in contact with each other and he could have just ended him and been done with it.
Well, I think I read somewhere that the Defenders is only gonna be eight episodes.
Only eight?
Yeah, really? Which I think is great. Okay. And I think Luke Cage suffered from the show going on too long. Like you mentioned, his brother. And I thought it was, I thought he was just going to be some random assassin who comes in, shoots him, and then disappears into the night. And then maybe he drops something like, oh, I'll see you later or something like that. Just, you know, kind of a hint that like we'll see him in a future season. It was almost like they shoehorned this relationship that he didn't have with his brother, and mm-hmm. that it was whack. And one reason Cottonmouth was so, the reason I thought Cottonmouth was so great as a villain was, he didn't need to be physical with Luke Cage to actually threaten him. Mm-hmm. Cottonmouth knew how to play the game. Like when he made that speech at the funeral, it was like, oh, like, what's Luke gonna do now? So it made Luke Cage be more than just a physical symbol. He actually had to go up and actually make a speech as well, mm-hmm. to show that like I'm here for the rest of the community, mm-hmm. and do little things like go up to that girl, take her gun, and like bend it so he wouldn't go in there, so she wouldn't go in there and go shoot somebody else. Your villains are supposed to make your heroes better. Cottonmouth made Luke Cage better.
Yep.
Diamondback.
Okay.
Diamondback did not make Luke Cage better. There was a lot of symbolism in that. Like you mentioned, the shot of Putty. Mm-hmm. There was also that one, the symbolism of him being sick and the bullets still alive in his body, him trying to get the safety. And then even despite the fact that these cops were attacking him and trying to arrest him, he still made it a point to protect them. Yep. Even though they were trying to hurt him. I thought that was cool.
Yeah.
I like the fact that a buddy of mine said it. The show was unapologetically black.
Yeah.
There was no like, oh, we'll make like, no. This is who Luke Cage is. Mm-hmm. This is what he represents. This is what our show is. But like you said, around like episode 6 or 7, it was kind of like, eh.
Yeah.
It was like the going back into like the church and the flashbacks.
Yeah, the momentum just wasn't the same.
Yeah.
The energy just kind of weaned off a bit. And I had to admit, towards the end of the season, I was kind of just like, okay, well, I made it this far. I might as well finish it.
Yeah.
You know? And for Iron Fist, I felt like that from like episode 2. And I was like, you know what? I'm hearing all these critics talk about how lame it is, how boring it is, and I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna watch it anyways, cause
kind of made you want to watch it more because I was shitting on it.
Yeah, like I'm like, you know what? I want to give it a chance because critics have been wrong plenty of times. So I didn't watch it. I'm like, okay, kind of slow, but it's the first episode. Second episode. Third episode. By the time I was on like episode 8, I was like, you know what? I wanted to be out, but like I said, I made it this far, might as well finish it. So yeah, I wasn't very impressed with Iron Fist at all. He was he more watered down than any other character?
Absolutely. He absolutely was more watered down than that. Thing that was what's funny is the actor who plays him, he's actually a really fun character.
Uh-huh.
A fun person. Like he's on social media, and he's I'm actually looking for it now. And my homegirl Miss Osa always tells me to prep and like remember these people's names, but like, you know, that would make too much sense for me to actually remember their names. But he like on his Finn Jones on Instagram, he's funny, like he's always got a smile on his face, which is kind of what Danny Rand is. He's goofy, but he's not naive. Mm-hmm. He's actually a smart businessman. He doesn't make stupid decisions. Like there was actually a story he did in the Immortal Iron Fist where one of his business partners wanted him to take this deal. He was like, no, I researched this. Their money isn't coming from where they're coming from. There's more to it. He then ends up finding out that the people he was working with were actually working with Hydra. So he wasn't just like, oh, I'm Danny Rand, and I'm just going to do it because you were my friend and kid, and it'll make me happy. Like, that's not who he is.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the Iron Fist. It's more than just a power to just break stuff that only comes from one of his hands.
Yeah.
I've seen him use it to hypnotize people. I've seen him use it to heal himself and heal other people.
Yeah.
I've seen him deflect bullets. I see him do all the stuff, all these cool things with the powers. And I get that it's only season one, but there's so much that they could have done. Like, even just little hints of things you could have done. And then in the stories, you go back and read about the other Iron Fist who used the power to strategize. Mm-hmm. One of them shoots, the previous Iron Fist could shoot bullets of chi. One of them could shoot arrows of chi, like, you know what I mean, mm-hmm. stuff like that. They didn't even scratch the surface of the things you can do. Mm-hmm. I like Iron Fist. I thought Iron Fist, like, I would go back and watch it again. I actually enjoyed Iron Fist maybe more than I enjoyed Luke Cage, but only reason I say that is, like, I knew what I was getting into, and I knew they were kind of screw up the character, so I knew that this was going to happen. Mm-hmm. I expected certain fight scenes, I expected them to be a certain way, so I went in there with realistic expectations. I think Luke Cage is a better character. I think Misty Knight is a better, I guess, a supporting character than her, who will probably be her partner later. I forget her name, the Asian woman who's with Luke Cage, I can't remember her name. Which is funny, if they end up being the Daughters of the Dragon. I thought Misty Knight was a better supporting character.
I love her.
Because she's fine.
Oh my god.
That red dress?
That's a queen right there.
Yeah, that red dress though?
Beautiful. Anything she puts on. That's a queen right there. That's a beautiful black woman.
So, but I expected, but I think Iron Fist would have been better received if people didn't binge it, and if it was like a week-by-week show. I think it might have been received a little bit better. Mm-hmm. Because watching a show like that back-to-back, it does get dull and boring.
Yeah.
So I think that if some shows you just shouldn't binge. And I think Iron Fist is one of those shows that people just should not have binged. Mm-hmm. I binged it and enjoyed it. It was slow, but slow doesn't really bother me. I think that's what Iron Fist suffers from, and I think that's what. But when I watched the show and I watched what he was, I realized that Iron Fist is going to work better in a team situation where he has other people kind of picking up parts of him that aren't there. Like, he's kind of slow, he's kind of boring, and then in a recent trailer, he's sitting there eating pot stickers or whatever, and Luke's looking at him like, "How are you eating? How are you still eating?" Like, and even just their exchange was just kind of funny because he was like, "Oh, I burned up a lot of energy, so I gotta replenish it." And it was just that interaction alone was better than any interaction he had in the entire Iron Fist series.
You know what I'm thinking right now? If this comes out, the Defenders, that is, and it really works, the dynamic between those four heroes really works, and it makes the idea of Iron Fist actually more likable in this show in particular, it's kind of going to be like how we view the Incredible Hulk.
Yeah. With
how his movies don't do big numbers. He's not that interesting of a character in terms of mainstream.
Yeah.
The mainstream, but everybody's checking for him when the Avengers comes out.
Because he has, yeah, you're 100% right. I've actually thought about that. Because, like, everyone remembers that one scene when he grabbed Loki and was just like, yep, slamming him around.
It's classic.
But try to remember anything other than General Ross in any of the other Hulk movies.
Nothing, like.
Some characters just don't work in single capacities. Some people just don't work in team settings. I think, mm-hmm. I think Hawkeye would be a great show, but him in the movies is kind of like, oh, you're there.
Yeah.
Same thing, and people shit on Scarlett Johansson's Black Widow. She's good, but maybe she'd be better on her own. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not sure that Black Panther would work well in a show setting, but I damn sure his movie's gonna be amazing.
I'm going to wait for it to come out. I'm not as excited for Black Panther really? As everybody else.
I don't even know why. Has it just not done it for you?
Maybe because I don't know enough about him. I've never read a Black Panther comic book. What I know about Black Panther is whenever he's done team-ups.
Okay.
So you're going to know about Black Panther, but you're not going to get the gist of him. You're not going to be able to identify who he is, what he's totally about, and what he stands for. I get it with all the recent conversation pertaining to Black Panther with anticipation of his movie coming out, but he just hasn't really connected with me yet. So I'm not that excited about it yet. I kind of feel like so many people are excited about it simply because he's black. And if you look at the cast, it's mainly black people, which is cool. I'm all for that. That's great. But me being totally honest, that's not enough for me to get excited about. When I go to the movies and watch it, because I will go and watch it, matinee, because I don't do I don't like crowds, so I don't go during, you know,
man, you got
8, 9, 10 o'clock. I don't like crowds. So
you
I go.
Lux?
Huh?
You don't do Lux?
I don't even do Lux. That's a waste of money to me. I just like every time I go to the movies, I'm hoodied up and I'm there by like 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and sometimes I'm by myself. Every once in a blue, I'm with somebody, but I usually just go in, enjoy the movie, and that's that.
If I'm 1,000 years old, you're 3,000.
Hey, that's how I like to do movies. That's how I like to do movies. I love movies, and that's how I do it. But when I go see this movie, I'm going to see it with the anticipation of seeing a Marvel film that is hopefully as satisfying as some of the past Marvel films. I'm not going in there because I'm like, yes, there's going to be so many black faces. I can't wait. So that's what I'm mainly going for. Don't get me wrong. I love being black. I love seeing black faces on TV, in movies, doing great things, doing just as many astonishing things as everybody else. But I need more than just, you know, the color aspect of it to get me excited.
All right, so you brought up something about expectations and things like that. I'm gonna bring up a movie that everyone had high expectations about. That and you know what I'm about to bring up too. Everyone had high expectations for this movie, and then when everyone saw it, it was not as good as it everyone thought it was gonna be. I'm talking about Batman versus Superman.
I enjoyed it.
I don't
care what anybody
says. I enjoyed it too.
How many times did you have to watch it to enjoy it?
Alright, I've seen it one time, and do you know what? I've never actually explained to you why I didn't really like that movie, why it was disappointing to me.
Why?
It was like they tried too hard to make it like artsy, and then like Lois Lane was just a shitty character, and she was in it too much, and the Martha scene, which is hilarious, because every time I sign anyone in with the name Martha, it cracks me the fuck up.
It is funny.
Doomsday looked like a fucking Ninja Turtle.
Yeah, I don't like what they did with Doomsday.
And it was just so much about it was just... I almost walked out 5 minutes into the movie.
Really?
That scene where Bruce Wayne...
The
bats carried him out, I went... Done. I literally stood up. It was me and my wife and a couple of my friends. Flex mode. And we were sitting there. And I looked at my wife. I stood up and I went, done. And I was about to just leave. Like, I'll see y'all in the car. I'm not sitting the rest of this shit. But in terms of it being an action movie, it was fun. It was a fun action movie. There's a lot of stupidity to it, but it was fun. Like, it was exactly what... We didn't get the epic fight scene that we would have expected from Batman vs. Superman.
Uh-huh.
But if we're being realistic about it, that's about how a fight with Batman versus Superman should probably go. Like,
yeah, what did they call that armor? That armored suit that he wore.
Bootleg Iron Man.
Is it like
a bootleg Hulkbuster?
Yeah, that's what I wanted to call it. Yeah, but I enjoyed the movie for what it was. I did peep a lot of the things that everybody was complaining about upon my second time watching the movie.
Yeah.
And some of it really didn't make any sense, specifically speaking to the reason why people got so upset with Batman in the beginning.
Yeah.
how they blamed that whole fiasco on him when it really shouldn't have been on him. It should have been on everybody else that was involved. But, and then the thing with the bullet and the, just a lot of silly stuff going on. But I actually like the imagery. And I love dark films. I love it. I love dark
films. Did people want to complain about the movie being too dark?
Yes.
What?
People's main was...
His name is The Dark Knight!
But people's main complaint about Batman versus Superman was how dark it was. They said Zack Snyder used way too much imagery, like symbolism and imagery, which is a fair argument, but they're also like, well, I think it put a little too much emphasis on Batman, and it made and he made everything so dark. I love it that way.
But think about this, but that he is called the Dark Knight.
Exactly.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, his he what have you ever seen Batman out on a sunny day? Like, you know what I mean? Like, he works at night. That's what he does. He lives in a city called Gotham.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it based off the word Gothic, that's who he is. Is Zack Snyder?
Yes.
Zack Snyder, those are the types of movies he does. He was also a Watchmen too, right?
I love Watchmen as well.
I didn't appreciate Watchmen until I saw it a year ago.
Yeah.
I've seen it, the first time I seen it, I was like, yeah. Second time I seen it, I thought it was bad. Watched it again, I was like, you know what? I appreciate this movie so much more now than I did the first time I watched it. But with those movies, this is what he does. Like, you have to know what you're getting into when you're watching a movie. It's like when people were taking their kids to go see Deadpool, and it was like, oh my God, I can't believe that. It's rated R.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Deadpool. It's not Hurtpool. It's not Funpool. It's not Kittypool. It's Deadpool. So, if in the first scene, his crotch is on the camera, I think it might be time for you to leave.
Mm-hmm.
If you walk up and you're seeing a Zack Snyder movie, and what do you expect? You're not getting a Michael Bay movie. You know what I mean? You're not getting tons of explosions. You're gonna get, like you said, you're gonna get tons of imagery and tons of like really slow motion scenes and things like that. That's what he does. So while I was a bit upset about a lot of the stupid imagery and stuff like that, at the end of the day, it was a fun movie. It was about a 7, maybe a 7.5. But I think it became popular to make fun of the movie, and so I think that's why a lot of people didn't really like it, because it was fun to make. It was fun to shit on it.
Yeah. Bad news travels much faster and is a lot more infectious than good news. So, people were shitting on this movie from the very first, like, teaser trailer.
Oh, they were shitting on this movie. It was like Ben Affleck. They were like, ah, bah.
They were like, I remember when they finally released the teaser when Batman's in the air. No, Superman's in the air and Batman gets out of his Batmobile, looks up at him and says,
Do you bleed?
Like, people are like, what? What kind of shit is this? Like, this is terrible.
I liked it.
And from then on, it was just nothing but hate for the movie. And when it finally came out, I think a lot of people went in there thinking, this is going to be a colossal failure. DC has not put out anything really good since The Dark Knight. What was the next one? Dark Knight Rises. That was good, right? That was well received, right?
People didn't really like... I've heard mixed reviews about Dark Knight Rises. I've heard a lot about Bane's voice being annoying. I think that's the most I've heard of from about Dark Knight Rises. Was mostly just Bane's voice.
Yeah, but other than Dark Knight, Dark Knight seems to be the one that everybody just felt like was the best DC movie, in my opinion. From what I heard, everybody like totally felt like it was a perfect Batman movie. From the performances, including Joker, yeah, everything. It was just really good. I enjoyed it. I didn't think it was as amazing as everybody else, but it was an enjoyable movie. Now we have Wonder Woman, which is like a lot of people had nothing but great things about to say about it. And another thing I heard people say, which was a shot at Zack Snyder, was there were colors. That's what I kept hearing. Oh my goodness, there's colors. There are colors. Look at all that blue. Look at all that red. Look at, oh my goodness.
I never even thought about
like,
that.
Yeah. And I enjoyed Wonder Woman.
I hated that last fight scene.
Yeah, it was silly.
It was essentially Wonder Woman versus Magneto.
Yeah. That's basically what it was. And you can tell she was holding back the whole time.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
It was that porn stash Ares. like he gets defeated by Zeus in his like the bad CGI like buff body and like in his old ass face with a porn mustache. I'm like, me and my wife looked at each other, and when that happened, I've never heard someone roll their eyes before. I looked at my wife, I swear to you, I can hear her roll her eyes when she saw that.
What's up with that scene where, who was that guy that we all thought was going to be, like, the main villain up until Ares actually unveiled himself?
I don't know who he is.
But you know who I'm talking about. And yeah. He had the, who was it, like, gas face lady or whatever? When he threw the little gas grenade in the room and shut it. And when they got out of there, they looked at each other, said something, and was like, like, I died laughing because it came out of nowhere.
Ludendorff was the guy. I can't find.
I'm not gonna attempt to pronounce that. So.
Ludendorff. But you know what cracked me the hell up was the just her naivety to a lot of things when he came to the shore and he's getting up like this. Like their spa, or whatever. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have any clothes on. She just walks up and looks at him, mm-hmm. and he's just like, oh, trying to cover himself up. And the conversation's like, oh, so you don't know? Oh, we know about sex. And you know how to do all that, but pretty much, he's like, oh, but men are inadequate. I'm like, oh shit. Like I like the movie. I thought without that last fight scene, I thought the movie would have been flawless. But that last fight scene just like ruined the movie. Like ruined a lot of that movie for me. And for everyone calling Batman vs. Superman a flop, it did. $872.7 million US.
Unfortunately, though, the powers that be still see that as a failure. Because I watched a bunch of videos on... I live on YouTube. And I've watched a lot of videos, and the general consensus of how that movie performed was that it was lukewarm and it was barely profitable. I think they were saying something about it was barely on pace to outperforming Man of Steel, which I thought was a actually pretty decent movie.
I like Man of Steel.
Yeah.
Everyone talks about the last fight scene being nothing but like the destruction of everything else. But two things about that. Superman didn't really know how to use his powers, and he's fighting a bunch of other people who are better fighters. They're more skilled. So, yeah, that's essentially what would happen with all that's going on. Plus, it's set up for Batman versus Superman. I watched the movie. I thought, I don't like the movie version of Superman. He's not what Superman's supposed to represent in comic books, and that's just my dorkiness. Like, you know what I mean? But the movies are good. I don't have any issues with Man of Steel. I haven't. I've seen it more times than I've seen the Batman vs. Superman. So I try not to just shit on movies because every critic can do that. Every critic can go out there and go, well, Man of Steel was boring, there wasn't enough laughs, there wasn't any jokes, there wasn't any humor, which is all true. But there are some really good qualities of the movie. Like it was cool seeing Superman go from place to place almost like nomadically. Kind of like, you know, going from place to place, adopting a new personality when something happens and he has to leave. Mm-hmm. I thought it was cool at the end of the movie where he walks up and he's like, oh, I'm Clark Kent. And Lois Lane gave him that little smile like, oh, I know who you are. I thought little things like that about the movie were cool. I thought it was kind of weird that Superman broke a dude's neck. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, that was, I didn't expect that to be the way he was going to go up.
Kind of dark.
Yeah, it was dark, and I was like, okay. Why didn't you do that before, dude?
like now that you have to. But there's a buddy of mine who knows a lot about comic books in the comic book industry was explaining to me why it was a flop. He brought up how like it was a financially a flop. It was supposed to be money. They lost a lot of money on toys and movies. Comic book movies especially make a lot of money off of toys. So the money
merchandising.
So they might have made a lot of, they probably made a good amount of money on like Man of Steel t-shirts, like just with the logo on it, or the Batman Superman logo t-shirts and things like that. But they lost a lot of money on toys. Because that movie is so dark, a lot of parents probably don't want to buy their kids Batman with a giant kryptonite gun, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Or things like that. But with Marvel, there's so much fun stuff you can do. You have Captain America throwing a bright shield. You have Iron Man with like light up like chest, and even like Black Widow with her light up, like you can give her a light up like venom stings or whatever, I forget what they're called. Widow stings, whatever. Someone will yell at me about that. So it's easier to sell merchandise with Marvel because they're affiliated with Disney. DC and the president of DC, or the president of the movie, she says, we're a printing company. We do comic books. Mm-hmm. So, like, their movies are secondary. But which is funny because their cartoons are phenomenal. Like, I think their cartoons are a million times better than their movies are.
Yeah, I heard that too.
I mean, look at, there was, I don't know if you've seen this, Batman... Or I think it's like Arkham, Return to Arkham or something like that. Which is essentially what Suicide Squad could have been and should have been. Mm-hmm. Suicide Squad was awful.
Awful. Yeah. Just laughable. I don't even, like, that was, I think Will Smith was way too good for that movie. Like, he should have laughed at that script.
You know what's funny? If everyone was waiting for him to be bad, and he was great. He was probably the best part of that movie.
Yeah, he was too good for it. Way too good for it. Like, what are you doing in such a shitty movie? I mean, granted, he's had other movies that weren't so great, but his legacy is up there.
Yeah.
Like, he's done some excellent movies, and he's had a couple duds, but the good outweighed the bad when it comes to his films. But when I heard he was going to be in Suicide Squad, I was going to be, oh, okay. Okay, cool. I think I want to see that.
You know, it's essentially when you get a good looking dude or a good looking woman, they start messing with someone who's basic. It's like, you're a 10. Why are you fucking with a 4? You know what I mean? It was like, you're better than Suicide Squad. And Viola Davis, she's pretty much Viola Davis. You put her in anything, she's gonna shine.
Mm-hmm.
The Margie Robbie, played on Suicide Squad, played on Harley Quinn. She was good,
mm-hmm.
but everything else about that movie was awful. The plot was predictable. The villain was bad. My wife calls the Suicide Squad the United Nations, and she loved that the first person to die was a Native American. Why was Killer Croc black? B-E-T.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of all the things you could have worn, he wore a velour jumpsuit.
Yeah.
And then he was like, I'm fine, shorty. I'm like, oh, God, please, just stop.
That movie was just awful. Just terrible.
The only good scene was when they first started fighting all the weird-looking things, like the bubbly faces. And then Will Smith at the end of it was just like on top of the car shooting things with his wrist guns. Mm-hmm. Everything else about that movie was awesome.
And what the hell was the point of putting Joker in it? It was pointless. They could have taken Joker out of the movie and it still would have been as shitty as it was. For real, like there was no point to him being in the movie.
You know what? I tried so hard to like him in that movie. Like, I tried, and when they announced who it was, and they gave him the silver grills, and someone goes, well, when Batman turned to punch your teeth out, you know, I was like, okay, fine. And then he was like, well, at one point in time, Joker was a mob boss. I said, okay, let that go. But the Joker's psychotic. He's not creepy, you know what I mean? Like, he does creepy shit, and he should creep you out. But, like, the Joker's movie was, like, skeezy. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he was like, don't leave your sister around your nephew or your niece creepy. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Not like, you know, like psychotic, I'll rape you creepy. Like, he was just, there was no redeemable quality about it at all. None. Like, it was just terrible. There was nothing good about him.
I agree.
Like, I'm trying to think of something good about that movie, but I can't. It was just fucking bad.
So Justice League.
Oh God. I hope and I hope and I hope and I hope this movie does well. I'm not very optimistic because it feels like every 3 weeks there's a report going out that there's new edits.
Yeah, they put like $25 million into reshoots. And because of Zack Snyder having some kind of family emergency, there's a death in the family.
Yeah.
The guy who had a hand in the Avengers movie stepped in.
Josh Whedon.
He's doing like reshoots and stuff like that. So things are looking pretty positive in regards to how the movie may turn out. And I think the whole mustache gate thing is ridiculous.
Mustache gate?
They call it like mustache gate or something because Superman's character, that guy. Because of what movie? Some 007 movie.
Oh, shooting, man.
They're demanding that he keeps the mustache, so they have to use CGI to rid him of the mustache in this movie. And it's just, they might as well just put him in the movie posters now because everybody knows he's in it.
Yeah, mustache gate. I've heard some really stupid like hashtags. That's one of the best.
It's ridiculous. But I actually have high hopes for it, and it looks so dark.
I think Aquaman and Wonder Woman, I think, are gonna be the two best parts of that movie. Yeah. I love Ben Affleck as Batman. I think he was the best live action Batman we've ever seen. I think he was perfect as Bruce Wayne. I think he was perfect as Batman. And I think he's gonna be just as good, if not better, than he was in Batman vs. Superman, but I really think that Aquaman is gonna steal the show.
He might, yeah.
Like, he just looks like, he looks so like savage. And not savage like the way these young whippersnappers say it. Like, he looks like savage, like rip your head off and laugh. Yeah. You know what I mean? I was like, oh, he kinda looks cool. And Wonder Woman's gonna be awesome. She's been great so far. She's great in Wonder Woman, she's great in Batman vs. Superman. Actually, one of my favorite moments of Batman vs. Superman was when Doomsday punched her. She, like, slid back, looked up, and smiled at him. I was like, oh, shit.
Man, right? It was that, you know what really did it for me with Batman vs. Superman? I still like that fight scene with Wonder Woman, Doomsday, Batman, kind of.
It was fun. It was cool.
Superman, it was dope. And I loved how vicious and how strong Wonder Woman was versus this crazy lunatic of a freaking monster.
Yeah.
Doomsday. She was holding her own. Chances are, if she was by herself, she would have taken him out.
Yeah.
You know? But I love that. I love the Wonder Woman theme. I can, that, when that comes on and you're in the IMAX theater, it gets me so pumped. That's another reason why I really enjoyed that movie. But yeah, I have high hopes for that movie, Justice League. I love, 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 love that it's dark. I wish more movies were like that. But this isn't my world, so. it's that. And what else is supposed to come out? Oh yeah, Thor.
Thor looks fucking great.
That looks good.
It looks like a cross between Thor and Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah. And I was never really into Thor's movies. I don't think I've watched the first Thor movie. And I think I watched some of the second one.
They're okay.
But I'm going to watch this one because I'm a little more into it, especially with the whole build up to Infinity Wars coming. And why haven't they released that trailer to everybody except
because they're assholes.
Showed up to this freaking...
Because they're assholes. The only thing they think about is because they're assholes.
And I mean, some of it's leaked, but you can't really tell what's real and what's not because I heard there was a leaked version of that actual trailer that's legitimate, and then there's another one that is just made up. Somebody made it up. They just took a bunch of cut scenes from like a video game or something.
Oh.
And people are kind of running with that, but I'm really looking forward to that. I actually read a lot. I've been doing a little bit of research on who Thanos is, and like
he's a bad motherfucker.
But he's kind of weird because it didn't. Doesn't he have this weird obsession with? Doesn't he have like an inferiority complex or something?
No, he's got a weird obsession with death.
Yeah, he's in love with death. He has a weird obsession with death, but there's something else, like he doesn't like to win or something like that. Somebody made this argument that one of his like character flaws is that he kind of puts himself in a position to lose sometimes. I don't know. If I find the link, I'll send it to you. But
I'm just trying to think of him recently, and I don't really see.
Like, he wants to win, but when he gets so close to it, he... I don't know.
They probably brought up the most recent thing he did. One of the recent crossovers, Infinity, where he had everything. He had what he wanted.
Yeah.
I think he was supposed to kill his son because his son was the only person who could really stop him.
Yeah.
And he had a chance. And look, I think that might be what they're referring to. But it's always like he always has a chance. Like, he had the Infinity Gauntlet. And he could... He could have destroyed the entire universe. I mean, at one point he killed, or I'm not sure if he killed them or made them disappear. I think it was like over 50% of the planet.
Mm-hmm.
Just gone.
Just to impress death, right?
Just to impress death.
Yeah.
Why not kill all of them? I mean, I don't know about you, but if my options are keeping Wolverine, Captain America, Thor, and the Silver Surfer alive, or killing them because their threats, I think I would just kill them. I mean, they show up on my doorstep. If all these heroes and everyone else show up on my doorstep, I'm looking at them, snap my finger, they're all dead. And it was like he had the opportunity to do this, but he didn't. And then he fights them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what do you do? Like, Wolverine crept up on him, and I think he like cut his chest or something like that. Then he turned Wolverine's bones into a problem, which is hilarious. Cyclops was going to hit him with an optic blast. He put a cube over his head. You know what I mean? Like, you can just snap your fingers and they be gone. You know what I mean? Like, so, and you damn sure don't keep Dr. Doom alive.
Oh, yeah.
You kill Dr. Doom.
Yeah, he's one of the first ones to go.
Yeah, you're like, on the grand scheme of things, it's like, T'Challa and Dr. Doom are 1A, 1B. It goes back and forth. You kill Reed Richards. You know what I mean? You don't really have to kill the Sentry. You can just creep up behind him and go boo, and it was all run screaming away. But back to the subject. Like, Thanos is a badass, man. I remember he's beating the Hulk, but he doesn't like fighting the Hulk because he knows that there aren't many people on his strength level.
Yeah,
the Hulk's the only, I think maybe Sentry, but I know the Hulk is the only person who's like tit for tat, the only person who can like just actually go up to him and actually like beat him like mm-hmm. with pure power. He was fighting, Thor hit him with a giant lightning bolt. He looked up in Thor and was like, is that all you got? Thor hit him with another one. He looked up at him, do it again. I was like, the fuck? And then like Hyperion came down. He was fighting Thor, Hyperion, and Captain America by himself. Like, that's how much of a badass he is. So that on top of the Infinity Gauntlet, there's no way he should actually be losing at all. So maybe this does have a complex. What else is that? Is that all the? I think that if that's it. Did you see Homecoming?
Homecoming. Spider-Man. Yes, I did.
What did that?
It was a good movie. It had a lot of like family movie type of vibe to it.
Was it too bright for you?
No, it wasn't too bright for me. It was different. I don't like the family movie type of vibe, but I still like this movie. Another Marvel movie that had a family movie type of vibe, and I really didn't like it because of that, was Ant-Man. But this movie, I think they did really well. It was well balanced. It showed, it was more so character development with, you know, him struggling with being a teenager in high school and trying to convince Tony Stark that he's a superhero and is cut out for that line of work, and Tony Stark saying, listen, slow your roll. When we need you, we'll call on you, but you gotta relax and stop being so froggy.
He was almost told him, enjoy being a kid, enjoy being like just your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Yeah,
enjoy
live your life.
Yeah, stop stop being so froggy, trying to jump steps. You know what I mean? And he learned it at the end of all that. He learned, like, you know, you were right, actually that's gonna do that. The new super's dope though.
Yeah, it is.
It's probably too early for spoiler, but the end of it had me cracking up.
What's the ending again?
When he put the suit on and turned around, and Nate was like, what the?
He ended up turning it down too.
Yeah. I'm like, can I take the suit and still go?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I think this hasn't been. Guardians was cool. I didn't think Guardians was great, but it was cool. I think my expectations were that too high.
I enjoyed it. It was definitely a spectacle. Like, from the beginning all the way to the end, I feel like they put a lot into it to really captivate the audience in terms of special effects, the sound, the visuals. It was very colorful.
Yeah.
I
like, the soundtrack was actually a little bit more, I think it's a little more, not somber, a little slower than the other one. The first one was more like party, like almost like party anthem, like 70s and 80s type music.
Yeah.
I felt like this one was more, it was slower, it was a little calmer. I liked, one of the things I loved, there was two songs they played. It was Brandy, when he was talking about Peter's mom, I thought was great. There was another song called Father and Son, when him and his father were playing catch. And I was like, oh. So I think the music they used fit the movie a little bit better. And like I said, I think the first one was, like I said, was more action-packed. Like, and this one was more of a, all right, we're no longer a ragtag team. Like, now we have, like, this was more about family. Then with Gamora and her sister, Peter and his dad, and Peter and Mohawk, I can't remember his name, Rocket with, like, you know, Rocket no longer trying to be a loner and things like that, or Rocket and Groot. Like, I think it felt like it was more family-oriented than it was, like, an action flick, does that make sense? Because there wasn't really a lot of action.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of talking and comedy. Sometimes you forgot it was a superhero flick because there was a lot going on in terms of, like, ha-ha.
Like Rocket when he was and it was like throwing those dudes in the air with like his things, like you sitting in that chair like hit the button.
What's his name? The Destroyer or something like that.
Drax.
Like,
he was a lot goofier this time.
Yeah, he was goofy as hell, and I was like,
oh, my sensitive nipples.
And yeah, and the way he was going in on the chick with the mantis, like he was going in on her. He's an asshole. But yeah, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. It wasn't a memorable movie, but no. I enjoyed it.
It was enjoyable. It wasn't memorable, but I should buy it when I get the chance. I didn't think it was bad. I know a lot of people are like, oh, it wasn't as good as the first one. Of course not. The first one was a classic. Guardians of the Galaxy 1 is never gonna be topped in their franchise. That was probably a 10.
Yeah.
The only movie that comes close to, I think, a movie that good comic book wise, I think, is Deadpool. Like, I think Deadpool and Guardians of the Galaxy are probably the two, well, in the first Avengers movie, they're the three most perfect combo movies that we've seen. Like, they stay true to the character, the story was really well, was done really well. And one of the most important things is replay value. Like, I've seen Deadpool more times than I can count. I've seen the first Guardians the same way, the first Avengers movie the same way. Like, mm-hmm. The replay value of those movies were phenomenal. You can't really say that about a lot of well, movies in general now. And I think the three of those movies actually have high replay value.
When do you think that all these... When do you think the interest in all these superhero films is going to kind of die down? Because I know back in the day when I was growing up, there was like, it was just straight action movies. There were the, you know, Jean-Claude Van Damme movies.
Sylvester Stallone.
You know, Rambo, which is actually a little bit before my time, but I remember it.
Yeah.
There were those action movies. But now, those don't even exist. It's just a superhero flicks.
I think the allure with superhero movies go away when the allure of being a dork starts to go away. And I don't see that actually happening anytime soon. The way we have this wave of like hipsters and nerds like me saying, like, you know, basically, like, now it's okay to like be a nerd. It's okay to rock comic book t-shirts, read comic books on a bus and things like that. As before, you remember when we used to leave work reading a comic book and people would look at us like we have eight heads. Yeah. Like now people, oh, what are you reading? You know,
yeah, this is like, they look at you like, comic books are for kids. Like,
you ever read Punisher Max?
That yeah, exactly. And you know, if you go to other parts of the world, like Japan and everything, it's the norm. You'll see grown men older than us reading comic books in the on the subways and stuff. It's normal. Like, the culture is totally different. I've never been there before, but it's what I've been told.
It's well documented.
The culture.
That, like,
is yeah. a lot different because they got the anime, the manga, and just, you know, the video games. It's not seen as juvenile over there. It's just something that you're either into it or you're not, no yeah. matter what your age is.
Yeah, so I think once the age of the geek is over, I think you'll start to see a slow decrease in sales. A combo movie, so I don't think we're ever gonna get to a point where we're not gonna see them anymore. But I think in maybe the next 4 years, we're not gonna see as many.
Yeah.
Spider-Man did really great the first week. It dropped 70% the following week, which for a Marvel movie isn't necessarily good.
Yeah.
There's gonna be a drop first week to second week. That's inevitable, but. A 70% drop in the summertime, you know, not necessarily that good. Wonder Woman kept up for, I think, the first, like, 3 weeks. Guardians did well. Logan did amazing. I was actually shocked Logan did as well as it did.
Yeah.
I think that's the best movie. I think Logan is probably the best comic movie I've seen all year.
Okay.
Sad as fuck at the end, though. And it was probably the first time they got the character right, which is funny that it took them 20 years to actually get the character right. But I don't see it happening in the foreseeable future. Like, 4 years, but I think maybe 15, we might only see one a year. I think we'll see I don't think we'll see as many shows in a few years. Some of these shows are bad. Like, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I lost all hope in
that. I've never bothered to watch it. It's just not the same. If it's not on Netflix, I don't bother with it.
It's too, yeah, like, the first season was really good. The second season was okay. The third season, I was like, yeah, this is terrible. I'm all set.
Is Gotham any good?
I've heard good things about it, and I've heard some really bad things about it. My grandmother likes it. My buddy Reverend Sweetbread likes it. Diddy, I think. I'm not sure if he hates it or just can't really get into it. But I've heard good things about it, and when it's one of those shows, when it's over, I'll binge it.
I mean, there's plenty of them. There's The Flash. There's
Arrow. Legends.
Legends I heard about. What Gotham. About... it was on FX.
Legion,
yeah.
I got through episode one. I didn't really like it. Mm-hmm. I tried episode two and got maybe 15 minutes in. I just stopped.
I was like, I just can't get into it. I don't bother with it. I'm not even going to bother with Inhumans. Like, it looks stupid. Who greenlit that? Like, seriously. Those characters, some characters just belong in the comic book. That's it.
I've said this a million times, and I'm not sure if I've ever said it on air, but you can't take a character that you've been shitting on for 40 years and then spend 5, maybe 10 years trying to make the characters better. Because the Inhumans have been pretty much punching bags forever. And then over the last, like, 10 years, we finally made Black Bolt the character we should have been. We finally made Medusa the character she should have been. When she's in Fantastic Four, like, actually working with them, she's great. Mm-hmm. Karnak is a shitty character. They tried to make Karnak the new Wolverine. He's fucking boring. You know what I mean? Universally, the only character anyone cares about in Inhumans is the dog.
I didn't even know that dog was an actual character.
Yeah, an actual character. He's a teleporting dog. That dog is gonna sell so much. They're gonna sell so much merch off that dog. That dog gonna end up with a cartoon. I kid you not. Like you said, who greenlit that? Who thought it was a good idea? And it's got nothing but negative press. And then one of the press conferences, they said it was like nothing but people asking about, like, you know, why was this released? Like, do you actually have any hopes that this show will do well? And the cast was just sitting up there, like, kind of awkward because they didn't know how to react to certain things like that. So it was almost like, if you know the reviews are bad, prep the cast to be ready for this. Like, you know, get them excited. Like, people were talking about how bad Iron Fist was, but during a press conference, he's like, you know, guys playing him, he was live, he was animated. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, so at least you can tell he gives a crap about the character. Mm-hmm. We haven't been given a reason to care about the Inhumans at all. And then the trailer was god awful. Medusa looks like crap.
You know, we didn't even talk about Jessica Jones.
We can. I enjoyed it. But again, it had that lull. Again.
Yeah.
Kilgrave was great. I thought Kilgrave was awesome. I thought he was as good as you could expect from him. For those who, you read the Alias comic book, right?
Yeah, you put me onto it, yeah.
So, I'm kind of glad they didn't go with the whole, like, Jessica Jones, like, kind of, like, rapey vibe thing that make him too creepy. Mm-hmm. They made him like this British, smooth, just kind of like asshole. Mm-hmm. What was the scene? And the guy was like, hey, you have to pay for that. Take this coffee. Throw it in your face. The guy just starts screaming. Like, I thought Kilgrave was cool. I thought Patsy Walker was, sometimes she was good, sometimes she was really fucking annoying. Mm-hmm. I thought Jessica Jones herself was cool. I thought her character was cool. I thought everything about her when she was on screen was great. I thought the introduction to Luke Cage was amazing. The one thing my wife points out is she loved, which is funny because she's now one of us, she loved the comic books, hated Kristen Ritter as Jessica Jones because she wanted someone else. She hated that, like, they put all these, like, layers on her to make her look bigger.
I can't stand her as Jessica Jones. I do not see her as Jessica Jones. Even though Jessica Jones is pretty much a nobody in the comic book world from the viewpoint of somebody who doesn't really... She's not a popular character. She's been around for years, but if you ask people who's Jessica Jones before the series came out, they would say, who?
Yeah.
Who's Jessica Jones? Because she, for some reason, she's just not like... She's not a marquee superhero or anything, but when I read those comic books, her comic books, it was surprisingly great. And I kind of, like, got so into the character that when I read that they were coming out with a live-action TV series, I had somebody totally different in my head playing as her in this TV show.
So my wife thought someone who looked, you remember Heroes? The one with the chick with the split personalities, but she was like super strong.
The blonde chick?
Yeah. My wife thought someone built like her should be playing Jessica Jones. But Jessica Jones in the combo, she's not a stick figure. She looks like...
she's kind of thick.
Yeah. I mean, she's not just Marvel.
She's kind of thick. You know? Like kind of black girl thick.
Yeah, like...
She's not like anorexic like this chick.
Yeah.
So it's like...
And they put so much clothes on. Like, they put on... Like, she had on a sweater, a leather jacket, and a giant scarf. Trying to make her bigger than what she was.
Yeah, listen. They could have had her put some weight on her.
Yeah, but... And there's no way... I don't think she has a healing factor because she doesn't like heal as fast. So all that beer she drank, and all alcohol, it was just... I like Jessica Jones. I went back and I started watching some of the episodes, and I was like, okay, I actually liked it a lot more the second time around. I'm actually kind of excited for season two, but... Again, there's a lull for about three episodes, and you're like... But again, I think it's another one of those shows I think works better week by week. You know what I mean? Like, I think some shows you just shouldn't binge. Like, Daredevil, you can binge the hell out of it. Like, because they give you something about each character. I mean, each character in the first couple of seasons of Daredevil, they all had their own episode. Mm-hmm. They did an episode about Frank Castle. They did that really good episode with Wilson Fisk finding out what kind of person his dad was. Mm-hmm. Finding out about how Elektra and Daredevil, how they first met. And, you know what I mean? Like, and they made it, it's funny because in some senses you can kind of tell Daredevil's kind of a skeez. But, like, it's cool, yeah. Though. Like, I like that about it. So you can binge those shows because they're fun. The action scenes and all that, that's great. With Jessica Jones, Luke, and Iron Fist, I kind of feel like they lacked, like with Legacy of Luke Cage, it was great until Cottonmouth died. And then you have a lull. With Jessica Jones, it was like, it was the cat and mouse between her and Kilgrave was great. And then those two or three episodes where she captured Kilgrave and put him in that room, it was kind of dull. But once he got out of that, it picked up again. Iron Fist was kind of just, it was on the same wavelength like the whole movie.
Yeah.
The whole show, yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. And it kind of makes me worry about the Punisher movie. Punisher show.
I cannot wait for that.
That scene with him leaning on that grave talking about like what it was like going to war and coming back.
Mm-hmm.
A buddy of mine, he said his girlfriend, now his wife, was watching it, and she's from a military family. He said that scene made her cry because he said she understands what that's like coming from a military family when their father's done. He said that's what it's like because the transition's different from like not being in danger 24/7 to coming home and then just being, you know, a dad. I thought, because I don't watch Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't know what to expect from the actor. But when I watched it, I was like, yo, this dude, he's got it down pat.
Yeah, he does.
Like, it was, again, it was like watching the Punisher Max, like reading a Punisher Max comic book. And it was, the interaction between him and Daredevil was like you'd expect it to be. They even pulled a scene out where he had Daredevil chained to a rooftop. It wasn't exactly like that, but it was cool. I liked the fight scene where he, again, loved the Netflix hallway fight scenes.
Yes.
I think they know that people love them, so they're going to keep doing them.
Uh-huh.
But I love the hallway fight scene where Punisher keeps trying to get a gun and shoot people, and Daredevil keeps knocking the gun out. didn't he, like, throw him down the stairs and then take the elevator down?
Yeah, this was a while ago. I don't
remember. But, yeah, I loved it. And I just hope that they keep the same interaction that he has with the character, because he's not supposed to be... He's completely different from everyone else. He doesn't really have a personality. Like, his personality is, it's bleak. It's, you know what you're getting from me. Like, when I see him Punisher Max, I kind of want the internal monologue about what's going on. Like, if he gets shot and he breaks a rib, I want to hear, like, oh, that's a broken rib, I'm going to have to deal with that. I want his villains to be like ruthless and just like Punisher villains. You shouldn't even like them. Like you should just hate Punisher villains because they're rapists, they're murderers, they're sodomites, they're racist. They're you know they hate. Like you're supposed to hate Punisher villains. Like so when Punisher does go off and kill him, you don't feel any remorse. Because I was talking to a few people and they're like, well, I get why the Punisher does it. But there should be none of that. But you know, they should be like, oh yeah, that motherfucker deserved to die. You know what I mean? I hope they get it right. I think it's supposed. I'm not sure. I see one thing that said it was supposed to come out in November. I see another one that said early 2018. So I don't know when exactly it's coming out. But I'm amped. I just hope they don't screw it up because Punisher's one of my favorite characters. Yeah.
I feel like Punisher should be a lot bigger than he actually is in the comic book world, and in general.
Well, I know there's a thing where Stan Lee doesn't like characters with guns, so, which is kind of funny considering his cameo in Deadpool.
Yeah.
It's like, you can't, what do you say? Like, you can't buy love, but you can rent it for 2 songs. Fuck, I've been dying to watch that movie. Maybe I'll watch it later. Oh, and which is funny, we are at the... Talked about this a lot longer than I thought we were. Any final thoughts?
Not really. we talked about a lot of things. We actually talked about a lot more than I thought we were going to talk about.
You still think Mad Max is a good movie?
I do. I do think it's a good movie. I don't care what you guys think. But yeah, back to the podcast topic. But,
oh shit! Shit.
I'm just looking forward to the Justice League. That's all. That's all I have to say. Looking forward to it. Are my hopes high? Yeah, kinda. But I'm not gonna listen to what everybody else has to say about it. I'm just gonna go in there, and if I enjoy it, I enjoy it. If not, then I guess I'll just be joining everybody else in saying that it was terrible. But
you can hold
hopes for it.
You can hold up a sign that says the Justice League is a lie.
You know, I'll just walk out of the theater in my hoodie like, yeah, what the hell did I just watch? But I doubt I'm gonna feel like that.
You ever seen a movie that you just wanted to flip off after you were done?
I've seen a few I can't think of any though.
We'll say that.
Oh, not even a comic book movie, but I think it was called It Comes at Night.
Sure.
And it's not a porno.
Oh, so you sure you were watching a porno?
But it was marketed as a horror flick, but it ended up not being one. It was more so like a post-apocalyptic survival, gritty, like you still don't know what these people are up against this entire movie. And I just feel like it ended so abruptly.
Oh, this just came out?
Yeah, it came out like 2 months ago. I remember being so pumped to watch it because it was very dark. It was post-apocalyptic. It had just this horror vibe to it. It made me think of The Village, kind of, which was a good movie. And it just, everything leading up to what the ending ended up being was just, are you kidding me? Like, it was almost as if they ran out of money and said, you know what, let's just
stop it,
freestyle
right.
This real quick, and then here are your paychecks, go. Like, that's how I felt at the end. But everything leading up to that, like, the last 5 minutes of the movie was excellent.
People underestimate how much the last 5 minutes of a movie can, like, really ruin a movie.
Yeah.
Like the end of the movie is supposed to be the climax. You're supposed to be able to, like, you're supposed to be like, yes! And you get the last 5 minutes and you're like... It's like working up to get a nut, and it's like, yeah.
But, you know, in the trailer, if you watch the trailer, you'll think that there's, like, an actual monster or, like, an actual, like, presence of some sort that people are scared to death of. and they're fighting to survive whatever it is they're up against. But you later on find out, you never actually find out. You don't know if it's actually a monster. You don't know if it's like a airborne disease and they're just plucking people and people are just dying one by one. You don't know what it is. It could actually be like a situation where people are just are so scared for their lives and there's some kind of virus going on and they don't know how everybody's catching it. Is it airborne? Is it like contagious in by touch, or like how are people dying like this? You don't know how it comes about, and when you're done watching the movie, you still don't know. So
that sounds like a giant pain in the ass.
It is, but you know what? It's a great movie up until the end.
God, that would annoy me.
All right, this has been the Old Man Wade Show. I'd like to thank Justin Gregg for doing this.
Thanks for having me.
We'll have to do this again. Can you give me a, you know what I want to hear?
Damn it, Wade!